is God has put in your heart and in your spirit that he's going to make a way. Look at this. He said, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, this thing is going to work for me. I don't know how, whatever I'm going through, my afflictions. You got to know that they're going to work for you. He said, tribulation work what? Patience, amen? And since tribulation works patience, I need to understand that patience means endurance. It means the fortitude and the constancy, amen, the perseverance and the steadfastness. We got to understand that patience, that it means that I can endure this thing. I got the fortitude to be able to make it. Oh, come on and say amen. I'm constant and I'm going to be constant in whatever it is. If I got trouble and trials in my way, I'm not tripping over trouble. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, I know something. I have an idea of something. I got a sneaky suspicion that what I'm going through is not going to take me out. I got a sneaky suspicion that God is up to something. You know what I love to hear Christians say? That when they go through, God must be about to bless me because the devil acting a fool. And he don't want to see me blessed. And so since he's acting a fool, I believe I go act a fool at church. I believe I go act a fool for God. I believe I'm foolish enough to believe that God will because I know he can. I believe that I'm the apple of his eye. I believe that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and he loves me. He loves me. And since I know he loves me, no matter what I'm going through, God is going to make a way for me in my affliction. We got to understand something, that when I'm patient, that means that I'm persevering through these things. The word perseverance means the ability to overcome obstacles along the way. I'm able to overcome whenever I go through something. Whenever something gets in my way, I'm able to overcome it. Am I being too long for you? In order to be patient, you have to be steadfast. Amen? And then he said, and patience does what? Brings forth or produces experience. In other words, I got the character. I got the integrity. It builds my character and it builds my integrity. In order for you to know how powerful you are or how well put together God has made you, you have to have a test of your integrity. The only way you can test the integrity of something is to put it under pressure. The only way to be able to test it is to put it under pressure, and you'll know whether or not it can stand. That's why when a potter makes clay, he puts it in an oven, and then when he takes it out, he fills it with water to see if it cracked under pressure. Oh, come on and say amen. God is a potter. We are the clay, and sometimes he puts us in the oven. He puts us in the heated trial. He puts us in a heated situation to see if we're going to crack.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
When we celebrate this day, we pray that you'll now meet us in the preaching experience. Move and minister as only you can. Show us in the text. And then show us what you desire us to be. And we ever be so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I want to turn your attention to a very familiar verse in the Word of God, Isaiah 53:6. As we celebrate this Lord's Supper, certainly we are reminded of what the Word of God says. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. I want to talk about man's ruin and God's rescue. Man's ruin and God's rescue. Here is another gospel lesson in the middle of the Old Testament. And the gospel can be found in all of the Word of God. It is mistaken that the Gospels can only be found in the Gospel. For the Gospel means good news. And so here in the middle of the Word of God, we have Isaiah telling us again of a biblical word for the people of God. In spite of man's ruins, man's mess-ups, man's mistakes, God is always ready to rescue him. One of the things that I want us to look at as we go into this verse, and it's very simple as we walk through again this one verse. If we try to deal with the context, it's too full, too much, and every verse would scream, "Say something about me." But I want to focus on verse 6 because here is where the heart of the matter is for our message. Let's look at the practice of man. That's the first thing I want to notice. The word says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Now look, we have turned everyone to his own way, and that way is iniquity, vainness, foolishness, nothingness. Every one of us have practicing, and perhaps until we are taken up from here, we'll practice. And though this is meant for those who have been lost and now is found, the reference still is that John says, if we say we have no sin, we're fooling somebody, but it ain't God. And so the interesting thing is that we look at how we practice sin. All of us have gone astray. And the interesting thing about this is that when we talk about going astray, it's talking about moving away from the word, the will, and the way of God, so much so that we don't have the fullness of instructions and inspiration to walk in the things of God and to do the things of God like God himself desires us to do. It is always when we are moved away from the presence and the power of God, it is always because of fleshly desires, or it is because we do not desire to adhere to the plan of God. So one of the things the word talks about, the practice of mankind spoken of in our verse, is a selfish practice. And look, we like sheep have gone astray. Why do they say that about sheep? Because when the Lord Jesus Christ called us sheep, he called us something. Sheep were gentle animals, but they were also timid animals. One of the characteristics of sheep is that they are dumb. Now, when you think of some of the things we do, is dumb. You see right on the pack of cigarettes, surgeons, general warning, smoking is hazardous to your health, and yet we'll dumb. We know alcohol isn't good for you, but a little help, a little hit, a little sip can't hurt nobody. And then for those of you who try to use what Paul said and said a little wine is good for the stomach, he was not talking about that Boone's Farm and the stuff you be drinking. He was talking about unfermented wine. It didn't get you drunk and get you high because the water was bad in certain areas, and so they had wine or grape juice. Yeah, but I can go down the list. But my point is, how many of us have known better and still done dumb? You can be going down a one-way street, but because it's halfway down where you want, you'll go again. I'm only going one way. Dumb. And I can go down a litany of list of things we know, and it describes us. And so we can know better and still choose not to do better. So this practice of man is a selfish practice. It says, man went his own way. Listen. And so because he went his own way, mankind, it is not only a selfish practice, but it is a popular practice. Popular practice for all. We like sheep. Not some, but all. We like sheep. It's a very popular practice because some folks say, if you can do it, I can do it too. You do your thing, and I'll do my thing. And so all of us have fallen into that popular practice, but because it's popular, it doesn't make it proper. Amen. The Lord God wants us to follow him, not the ways of the world, not the ways of the flesh, not the ways of others, but the ways of God. And because all are doing it and it goes contrary against the word of God, it is also an unholy practice. It's a selfish practice because it is bent on having our own way. It is a popular practice because everybody is doing it. Nobody is exempt. All of us do it at some time or the other, saved and unsaved. But make no mistake about it, for all of us, it's unholy. Everyone who goes his own way, for the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. What is the practice of iniquity? Iniquity. All of us have gone our own way. But I want you to not only look at the practice of the man, but I want you to look at the peril of the man. This sinful practice of man has put him in a great peril. He is in peril because his way is the wrong way. His way, no matter how good he feels about his way, his way, whenever it is outside of the word or the will or the way of God, is the wrong way. How do you say it's the wrong way, Pastor? I say it's the wrong way because they have gone astray. Now it would have been all right if it says, all we like sheep have gone our way. All right. But it didn't say just our way. It says gone astray. All right. And it literally meant that it has gotten off of the straight path and gone in the wrong direction. And it doesn't matter if the direction is north, east, south, or west. If it is off the true path, then it literally means it is astray. You're going wrong. You're headed in the wrong direction. And so understanding that and knowing that, our language in the text says going astray. That means not going the right way. And listen to this. If you're not going the right way, it doesn't matter which way you call your way. Look at this word again. This is not the way to heaven. And this man is in peril because he's in a deadly way. And the problem with the enemy is the devil wants to keep you going astray and to cause you to stray in such a way that you never make it back to the right path before life ends. That means then that you have either never ever come into the right place or path, or it means you have gotten off the path and never come back to the right path. But in either case, the devil wants to make sure that life ends before you get it back together again. And so again, when you understand this and know this, it is a deadly way, the iniquitous, the way that predicts death, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. While we're listening at the dark gloominess of the death and the penalty that must be paid, make no mistake about it, God puts in there a place for us to turn around, to get it together, to get it right, to come back to Him, and that is the gift of God. And so when we've been looking at this, one of the interesting things that I love about Isaiah, and he presents this picture, this is not a picture of the lost. This is a picture of the saved. This is not a picture of the world. This is a picture of the church. The fact that it says we have gone astray meant that one time we had it straight. One time we had it right. One time we were walking in the will of God, but we chose to go astray. And so not only do again we see the practice of man and the peril of man, because when we understand that, not only is that the deadly way, but it's also a way that has become condemned. It's called the condemned way. Because of the iniquity, that way predicts death. And all of this says to us that our verse is commending man but condemning him with what he has placed before God. Our verse doesn't necessarily commend him in that he went away from God, but that he could come back to God. It is condemning him if he never comes back to God. And so when you begin to understand that and see this and follow this, all of this has to do with helping us to find our way back to the Lord. Changing the names on a bottle doesn't change the content in the bottle. Old folk put it like this: he went down a dry devil and came up a wet one. See, you got to be saved even before you're baptized. When you confess him and truly receive him as Lord and Savior of your life, he comes in and creates a change on the inside. The water is just an outward sign of an inward belief. So just because you change labels, how many of you know it's easier to change your address than it is your attitude? Y'all won't look holier than thou at me. The real change comes on the inside, and then it shows up on the outside. And so when we begin to look at this and understand this, the Word of God gives sin the right name. The right name. Sin. Doesn't give it little flowery names that paint a picture that makes it a softer blow. You know, we don't like to get into calling sin these days sin. We have other names for them to dress them up. We call them alternative lifestyles. There ain't no alternative. Like, you either this or that. This or that. There is no alternative. Let me make it more simpler. There's either heaven or hell. There ain't no alternative. You can't just say, well, I'm going to just live on earth the rest of my life. I'm not going to heaven, and I ain't going to hell. Try it. You're going to discover there are no alternatives. God's way is the right way, the only way, the best way, and the truth is there is no other alternative. But if you so choose, listen to this, and you can choose by not choosing. If you don't accept Christ, then you automatically reject Christ. You still made a choice. Some people think procrastination is going to help them out, that if they wait long enough, everything will work out. No, time runs out. And so you need to recognize, my brothers and sisters, that the peril of man is that he wants to do what he wants to do, but doesn't realize he's on God's timetable. Then the last thing I want to say about this verse that we have before us is the pardon of man. We've had the practice of man, the peril of man. Now we want to talk about the pardon of man. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All starts the verse and all ends the verse. When all starts it, we're going every kind of way. When all ends it, Jesus has got our back. Look at this word again. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that represents the pardon of divine pardon. There's some pardons in here I'm going to represent in this text to show you. But divine pardon, because God provides the way of salvation. Man didn't think this up. Man was not concerned about this. As a matter of fact, God placed pardon in position before he ever made man. He saw from the beginning of time man was going to mess up. So he made a makeup for man's mess up before he made him. You are no accident, no afterthought. God knew what he was doing when he did it, when he gave us a choice, when he allowed us to make our own choices, when he gave us free will, when he created us in his image and in his likeness, he said, I know man's gonna mess up, but I'm gonna give him the choice to do right. And so one of the things that you'll recognize is from the foundation of the world, the slain lamb was already there, prepared by God the Father, waiting through the dispensation of time to come down at the fullness of time to redeem mankind. So the first thing I want you to see again is the divine pardon, because God provided the way of salvation. But then next of all, I want you to see the merciful pardon, because man does not deserve the pardon. Well, why do you say he doesn't deserve the pardon? Because he made the choice to go his own way. Now, you don't deserve mercy when you make your own decision. It would be different if somebody pulled you in a way you didn't want to go. It would be different if someone forced you in a way you didn't want to go. But when you made your choice to go in the way you wanted to go, God would not allow you to control your circumstances. And so you don't deserve pardon because it wasn't a mistake. How many of us have honestly sinned and we knew it wasn't no mistake? How something's just gonna happen? No, boo, it ain't just happened. You made plans. It might not have happened at the moment you wanted it to happen, but you wanted it to happen, because if you didn't want it to happen, all the steps leading up to it wouldn't have happened. So it wasn't no mistake. Oh, I just fell in the water. Boom. No, you walked up to the water
And maybe you stumbled and failed, but you were going there in the first place. So it was by choice, and therefore no mercy are you deserving of, because you have the strength to choose, and what you chose was the opposite way of God. And so therefore, to know this pardon is a merciful pardon. How many of you say, Pastor, I need merciful pardon this morning? Now, those of you who didn't raise your hand, you need double mercy. Liars. Don't sit here and act holier than thou. I just got through telling you, John said that if you say you have, not past tense, had, but if you have no sin, you are a liar. I just hate it when we get up in the house of God and just act like he ain't talking to me, talking to him. We, the question becomes, are you either all or are you we? Because in either case, it's talking about you. So when we look at this merciful pardon, man has gone his own way and rejected God's way, yet God in mercy, through Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross for our sins, has done this. Given us a vicarious pardon. Because of Jesus, the price he paid on Calvary's cross. Never sin, perfect in every way. Never knew sin, but tasted of sin by dying the death of every man. Vicariously, he stood in the place that had your name on it. You weren't there when he died, but he saw in the portals of time that you would be saved, that you would come to him. And so he died for the entire world. And whosoever will. And so vicariously, no man made him die. He laid his life down. But because he laid it down, he was able to pick it up again. And that vicarious, listen. Has there ever been a time that you were in a situation of need and somebody did something for you with an attitude? And as bad as you needed the help, with the nasty attitude like they had, you shouted out, well, don't help me then. Don't worry about it. Don't. And you had rather do without than someone do for you with an attitude. Thanks be to God for Jesus that he didn't do what we needed him to do with an attitude. But listen, with gratitude to his Father, being able to come down and do what no other could do, being glad that his Father counted him worthy, he came down and stood in our place with joy. Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's good news. I said that's good news. Because he did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for everyone who would come to him. And then the last thing I want to say about this word and about this pardon of man. Not only was it a divine pardon. Not only was it a merciful pardon. Not only was it a vicarious pardon. But the last thing I want to say about it was, It was a sufficient pardon. Sufficient